Hey, now let's put them together for Jesus tonight. Now why don't you shout for Jesus tonight? Come on, why don't you lift up a praise tonight? Aren't you thankful to be in the house of God? My, my, my. When I think about all the places that I could be and all the places that I should be, there's just something about the presence of God and the house of God that makes me feel so thankful that I'm here tonight. And you know, the Bible says that we have an adversary. Scripture says that our adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking those that he can devour. Scripture says that he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the enemy has launched an attack against us. You better believe it. That the enemy has plans to see you destroyed. But I'm here tonight to tell you that we're going to cancel the enemy's plans tonight. Tonight, we're just going to remind the devil that he's already defeated. So before you sit down, why don't you turn to somebody and say, it's going to be a bad night for hell. That's right. Now turn to somebody else and let them know it's going to be a bad night for hell, because Jesus is going to be lifted up tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me, giving me some spiritual music back there. My goodness. Such an honor to be with you again tonight. We had an incredible time this morning, and I believe that the best is yet to come, and God has something very special for us tonight. And if you got your Bible with you, I want to ask you to go with me to the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter number 19. Luke 19, and when you get there, go to verse number 1. We're going to talk about Zacchaeus for a little bit tonight. Luke 19. Verse number 1. And I'm going to read from the NIV version. If you're following along and don't have that version, it will be on the screen so you can follow along there. Luke 19, verse number 1. And it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. I read one more verse of scripture to you tonight. Book of Psalms, chapter number 119 and verse number 71. Just one verse, and it says this: it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Are we sure that's not supposed to say blessed? Are we sure that's not supposed to say it's good for me that I've been saved? No, no, no. It says it is good for me that I have been afflicted. That's an unusual statement. But it's more than a statement, church. Essentially, what the writer is saying is, thank God I've been afflicted. That's a praise. And I want to preach to you tonight just for a few minutes from this thought, an unusual praise. praise, an unusual praise. The text that we read together is a familiar passage. In particular, if you grew up in church, then you probably grew up singing about Zacchaeus. And we all know the song, and I'm not going to sing it tonight because it's going to be stuck in your head all week. Oh, come on. If y'all want to sing it, we'll sing it. Come on. Do you know it? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up. Oh, we're clapping right here. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. All right, that's enough. All the guests are like, what have I come to? This Texan is singing. But we know the song. We know that Zacchaeus was indeed a wee little man. But to me, he was much more than that. And he's one of the most interesting people in all of the scriptures. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus wasn't just a wee man, but he was a chief tax collector for the region in which Jericho was located, which meant he was an employee of the Roman Empire. Now, understand that Rome was symbolic of ungodliness and oppression to the Jews. And Zacchaeus was an employee of Rome, but not just an employee. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. There were no more hated people in that time than the tax collectors. In order to become a tax collector, men would bid on the position. They would pledge to raise a certain amount of money. And whoever bid the most money, that's who got the job. So you can see how these men could have been corrupt. And to make matters worse, their profit, the way that they made their living, didn't come from the amount that they pledged. What they took home came from everything over and above that amount. And the Bible said about Zacchaeus that he was wealthy. That meant he was good at extorting people for money. And even worse, Rome wouldn't hire Romans to do this. They would hire Jewish people. So Zacchaeus is doing this to his own people. Can you imagine how much he must have been hated by his neighbors, by his friends? The Bible said he was a wealthy man. He was a man that knew success at the highest level in life, in the natural. Was a man that had everything he wanted at his disposal. He had everything that the world could offer, but he didn't have peace, because only Jesus can give you peace. We see this man, Zacchaeus, who's accomplished so much, and yet he's empty on the inside. He's longing for something. He's searching for something, and really, it's the same thing that we all are searching for. Zacchaeus wanted a Savior. And he begins to hear stories of a man that some are calling Messiah. He hears stories of a man that some are saying is raising the dead. Zacchaeus hears stories of a man named Jesus who never met a disease he couldn't cure. A story said that this man Jesus could walk on the water. And that he commanded so much power in his voice that even the winds and the waves obeyed him. And here's Zacchaeus, an empty man, a man that is searching for something. And he's got questions that the world can't give him. And he hears of this man, Jesus, and thinks maybe this is the answer. Zacchaeus was a man that knew pain. The Bible says he was small stature. He had a physical affliction. He had something he had carried his entire life. He knew pain. Someone in here, you know pain. You know what it's like to carry an affliction. You know what it's like to go through life with a burden that is painful. Zacchaeus was a man that knew pain. He was an empty man. He was a broken man. And he hears that this man, Jesus, maybe holds the answer to his problems. And today, on this day, Zacchaeus hears that Jesus, that man Jesus, the water walker, Jesus, that man Jesus, the one who's raising the dead, the one who offers grace to even the worst of sinners, Zacchaeus hears that Jesus
is passing through. Can you imagine his excitement? Can you imagine what he must have been thinking? Can you imagine how he must have been feeling when he heard that Jesus was passing through? His imagination, I'm sure, began to run wild with the possibilities. Oh, what can happen when Jesus passes through? And there's someone in here tonight, maybe you're not so different than Zacchaeus. Maybe you come in pain. Maybe you've come in empty. Maybe you come in with questions that you need answers to. And the only one that can give you those answers, the only one with the answer for your pain, is Jesus. I've got news for you tonight. You've got a reason to be excited. You've got a reason to let your imagination run wild, Zacchaeus, because that same Jesus that was passing through that day is passing through this church today. Oh, come on. If you're in this room, you got a reason to be excited because Jesus is passing through. Oh, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he can do it for you someday, he can do it for you today. Oh, God can touch your life tonight. That same Jesus. Oh, if you're in need, you got a reason to be excited because the provider is coming through. If you're in need of healing, you got a reason to be excited because the healer is coming through. And if you've been filled with his spirit and saved by his blood, you got a reason to give God praise right here because your king is coming through. Oh, come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say it is so. If he's your king, you ought to get on your feet and give him a king's welcome in this room tonight. Because Jesus is passing through. Woo! Give him a king's welcome. Give him a king's shout. Jesus, we welcome you in this place tonight. He said, I've come to set the captive free. I've come to open prison doors. Jesus is looking for somebody to give a miracle to tonight. Oh, Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing through. The Bible said that he wanted to see who Jesus was. The song we sang said that Zacchaeus, the Lord, he wanted to see. But I'm here to tell you the song is wrong. Scripture said he didn't just want to see Jesus. He wanted to see who he was. He'd heard the stories. He'd heard about the miracles. But Zacchaeus said, I don't just want to hear about it. I want to experience him for myself. And the truth that we're faced with tonight is that most of the people in our churches today are like most of the people in the crowd on that day. See, of all the thousands of the people that were there, only one is recorded, because when most people were content to watch Jesus pass by, Zacchaeus said, I want to see who he is. And most of the people today are content to come to church week after week after week and just watch Jesus pass right on by. Most of the people are perfectly fine just to catch a glimpse of him from their seat on Sunday morning and let him pass right on by. But there are a few people in the crowd like Zacchaeus. There are a few people that come in the crowd that say, I don't just want to watch him pass by. No, no. I've heard he's a healer. I've heard he's a way maker. I've heard he's a good father. I've heard he can put my life back together. But I don't just want to hear about it. I want to experience it for myself. Oh, come on. Is there anybody in this place that says, I want to see who Jesus is tonight? Oh, I want to see who he is. Oh, I want to have an encounter with God tonight that marks me for the rest of my life. All it takes is one moment in God's presence to change your life forever. And the thing is, we never know when that moment's going to be. So you ought to live every moment like it's that moment, because you never know the moment of God's choosing. How would you worship God tonight if you knew this was your moment? How would you praise God tonight if you knew this was your moment? How would you believe God tonight if you knew that your moment for the rest of your life was tonight? Zacchaeus said, I want to see who Jesus is. But there was a problem. The Bible said he was short of stature. He had a physical affliction. And this was something that had caused him pain his whole life. And now here it is again. The one thing that he wanted most. And this thing is saying no. There's someone in here tonight. Maybe you were believing God for something. Maybe you were hoping for something. But life gave you an affliction that said no. Maybe life crushed your dreams. Maybe life crushed your hopes. And you're dealing with something like Zacchaeus that has said no. Do you know what I love about Zacchaeus? I love that even when life slammed a door in his face, Zacchaeus didn't get depressed. Zacchaeus didn't say, well, it's never going to happen. Zacchaeus didn't make excuses. You know, we've got too many devil's advocates in the church. We've got too many negative people in the church. We've got too many people that want to tell you all the reasons why it can't happen. Well, what if I give and it doesn't work? What if I worship and it doesn't work? What if I commit to church and it doesn't work? Well, what if it does? I want to say, what if you just shut your mouth and believe that God's going to do it? Oh, come on. I'm looking for God's advocate tonight. I'm looking for somebody that says God is going to show up. God is going to make a way. God is going to bring me a miracle. Zacchaeus didn't get negative. Zacchaeus just tried again. But this time, he got creative. The Bible said he ran ahead of the crowd. I want you to see this. Jesus is coming. And Zacchaeus says, I'm going to run ahead of Jesus. I'm going to run ahead of the crowd. He finds a tree, climbs up in it, and then he waits there. See this. He doesn't have his miracle yet. Doesn't have his answer yet. But he has put himself in position to receive it. Because if you ever want to get a miracle, if you ever want to get a breakthrough, you've got to prepare the way with expectation. You've got to put yourself in position to receive it. You prepare the way with faithfulness. You prepare the way with your worship. You put yourself in position with your tithing. These are the people that get miracles. God is searching for faithful people. People that have been in that same situation for years and years, and let they show up week after week after week and serve God and believe God and love God until God shows up and works it out. That's the kind of person that gets the miracle. The person that has put themselves in position to receive it and stands with expectancy. Oh, that's what you need. Expectancy that God can do it at any moment. That God will do it at any moment. You can see somebody that's expecting. You can see Zacchaeus caught Jesus' eye. Because you can see somebody that's living with expectancy. As somebody asked me one time, Pastor Matt, why do you get so loud when you preach? They said, why do you shout the way you do? Why do you guys worship the way you do? Why do you do that? I said, friend, it's easy. It's because I'm expecting. See, when you're expecting, you praise different. When you're expecting, you worship different. When you're expecting, you respond different. When you're expecting, you give different. Because you know God can do anything at any moment. Somebody that's expecting in this place, why don't you give the Lord an expectant praise right here? Oh, come on. I'm looking for somebody that's expecting tonight. When a mother's expecting, she walks different. She acts different. She talks different. She's expecting. God is searching for people that will live with an attitude of expectancy. I love Zacchaeus because the Bible said not only did he get in the tree, but the Bible said that he waited there. You've got to stay in that place of faithfulness. You've got to stay in that place of commitment. He waited for Jesus to come. The king was coming his way. But Zacchaeus said, I'm going to wait until the king comes. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. The prophet Samuel goes to Jesse's house and God has sent him to anoint the next king of Israel. So Samuel goes and he knows that the king is here somewhere. We remember the passage. Jesse brings out 7 sons. Samuel goes through the row. Nope. 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 Nope, that's 4. Nope, nope, nope. And he knows none of these jokers are the king. And so he looks at Jesse. He says, Jesse, do you have any more sons? And Jesse says, well, I got one son. His name is David, but I don't think you want him. And Samuel says, no, no, no. And listen, that's what he says. He says, send for him because we will not sit down until he comes. Samuel says, the king is coming, and we're going to stand in a posture of expectation until the king comes. And I'm telling somebody tonight, you better believe that the king is coming your way. You better believe that the king is headed towards your house and headed towards your job. And you've got to make up your mind that I'm not going to sit till the king comes. Oh, come on. Don't you sit till the king comes. The king is coming your way. But you got to make up your mind that I'm going to hold on through the night. I'm going to hold on through the storm. Because weeping may endure for the night. But you better believe joy is coming in the morning if you hold on. Zacchaeus got up in that tree. And the Bible said he waited for Jesus to come where he was. Because Jesus will go wherever you are. Jesus will find you in the lowest valley. Jesus will find you in the darkest night. Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was. Jesus looks at him and he says, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. They'd never met before. And Jesus called him by his name. Just in case you were wondering if he was God or not. Jesus goes, Zacchaeus. And there were a lot of things he could have called him. The people called him jerk. The people called him liar. The people called him thief. The people called him by his sin, but Jesus will never call you by your sin. Jesus will call you by your name. Jesus will never call you by what you've done. He calls you by who you can become. I thought about Gideon. Y'all remember Gideon? When he was in that wine press hiding for his life, God showed up, and God didn't show up and say, Gideon, you coward. What did God do? He said, Gideon, get up, you mighty warrior. Because God won't call you by what you've done. He calls you by who you can become. And there's someone in here tonight. Jesus is calling you tonight. And he's not calling you by your sin. He's not calling you by your past. He's saying to somebody, get up, you mighty warrior. Get up, you man of God. Get up, you woman of God. Doesn't matter what you've done. It hasn't disqualified you from the plan that God has for your life. Teenagers, don't you let the enemy tell you because of your mistakes you can never achieve your purpose in Christ. I thought about Peter. I love Peter because Peter had some problems. Like me. I love Peter. You remember whenever they came to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? The Bible said he pulled his sword out. And Malchus comes, the high priest, to arrest Jesus. Peter pulls his sword out and goes, whack, cut that man's ear off. So understand, Peter made a mistake. Peter fell short. Peter committed a sin. Get this picture with me tonight. They were planning a crucifixion. They had come to arrest Jesus because they had a crucifixion in mind. And there should have been four crosses at Calvary because Peter committed a crime that was punishable by death. But what happened? Peter cuts that man's ear off. And I love Jesus because Jesus just reaches down on the ground, picks that man's ear up, and slaps it back on. Think about it. I can see Malchus running around saying, he cut my ear off. He cut my ear off. And everybody's looking at him like, Malchus, what are you talking about? Your ear is fine. Why? Because when Jesus slapped the ear back on, he destroyed the evidence. And when Satan the accuser comes against you and tries to tell you what you've done, just remind them that 2017 years ago, Jesus went to the cross and destroyed the evidence. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are gone, and all things are made new. Oh, thank God that my past is under the blood. Thank God that Jesus took my sins and destroyed the evidence. Woo! Jesus calls Zacchaeus by his name. Zacchaeus, come down. The Bible said, Zacchaeus, I got a shouter over there. Bible said Zacchaeus came down and he gave his life to Jesus. And it was in that moment Zacchaeus got everything that his heart desired. It was in that moment that he crossed over from death to life. And today, Zacchaeus, the Bible teaches us of that great cloud of witnesses. And Zacchaeus is up there somewhere. And if we could ask him tonight, Zacchaeus, if you could thank God for one thing and for one thing only. Zacchaeus, if you could praise God tonight for just one thing. I know there's many, but if you could pick one thing, what would it be? I believe that Zacchaeus would look back at us tonight with a serious, straight face and say, I would thank God and I would praise God that God made me so short. I believe if we asked him, Zacchaeus, you could praise God for one thing and one thing only. I believe Zacchaeus would tell us, thank God that he made me so afflicted. Because if I wasn't so short, if I was the same size as everybody else, I'd have blended in with the crowd and I'd have missed my miracle. But it was his greatest affliction. It was that greatest adversity that caused him to think outside the box and put himself in position for his miracle. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight that God is getting ready to give you an unusual praise. I don't care what the enemy's thrown your way. And I don't care how bad the affliction is. You serve a God that can take the worst thing that's ever happened to you and use it for the very purpose of delivering you into your destiny. Come on, if you believe that tonight, why don't you give the Lord a praise right here? God is about to give you a testimony, an unusual praise. And one day, like Zacchaeus, you're going to be able to look back on your circumstance and say, thank God for my affliction. Thank God for my trouble. Thank God for my pain. Because God was using it to deliver me into my destiny. I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, it's just a setup for an unusual praise. Doesn't matter how bad it looks, God can turn that thing for your good. For we know he's working all things together for the good of those that love him. I want to ask you to stand with me tonight all over this room as I begin to close. God's getting ready to give somebody an unusual praise. Maybe hard to see it tonight. Maybe hard to believe it right now when you're in the middle of it. But one day, if you hold on, one day if you don't give up, you'll be able to look back on your life with an unusual praise and say, thank God for everything you brought me through. Thank God for every trial. Thank God for every storm. One day, you're going to have an unusual praise. It wasn't long ago, our church back home, we were $4.3 million in debt. We'd gone through a season of just loss and trouble and tragedy. My oldest brother passed away. We had hundreds of people that left the church. Here we are, 2011, $4.3 million in debt. We're given 30 days before foreclosure. And it looks like it's over, folks. It looks like it's the end. Just a few days before the bank put us out, I have a man call the church and says, I want to meet with the pastor. So he meets with my father the next day and shows up at the church. And he says, Pastor, I want to write you a donation. He said, I got ready to write this check out and I had everything but the amount. He says, I talked to my attorney and spoke about what I needed to write for tax purposes and, you know, all that sort of thing. And he says, but when I got here, something told me to just start writing fours. And just a few days before the end, when it looked like it was over, $4.3 million in debt, God sent an angel through our doors with a check for 4.4. I want to tell somebody, it may look like it's over, but God's getting ready to give you an unusual praise. God's getting ready to work a miracle in your life that you never saw coming. It's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late for our God. You know what I love about that? Is that man had been sitting in our church for years. Before anybody left. Before my father ever passed. Before my brother ever passed. That man was in the church. God had provided everything we would ever need before we ever got into the circumstance. Doesn't matter what you lack. Doesn't matter what it looks like. God has already provided for you a way out of that thing. If you trust him. If you believe him. If you're in this room, I want you just to close your eyes and stretch your hands up to heaven. Father, I thank you right now that there are people in this room who have afflictions. People in this room who are going through all kinds of circumstances. But God, we know that you are a God that can turn what the enemy sent for harm for our good. You're a God that can use that affliction, that can use that circumstance to position us for our purpose. God, I thank you right now that somebody can see that circumstance in a new light tonight. That somebody can see you right in the middle of that thing tonight. Pray that God, you would begin to give us an unusual praise. That even right now, God, we can begin to thank you and praise you for what you're doing in the middle of the worst circumstance. Father, I thank you that as hands are lifted and eyes are closed, peace is going to sweep through this room. Someone in here, you need the peace of God. Peace that passes understanding. Someone in here, God's getting ready to give you fresh joy, fresh hope, fresh faith to go tomorrow, to go the next day, and believe that God is giving you an unusual praise. And if you're in this room tonight, you've heard the words that I've preached, and you're going through something like Zacchaeus. You got an affliction. You got an impossibility. But you're here tonight and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to wait in that tree. I'm going to wait with a posture of expectancy. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to let the enemy defeat me. But I choose to trust you. I want us to sing that song. It says, you're never going to let. You're never going to let me down. And tonight, as we get ready to sing this, why don't you make that your prayer? That whatever you're going through, just trust and believe and know that your God, the God of the universe, is never, never, never going to let you down. Come on, hands are lifted, eyes are closed. Let's sing that all together.